Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
I've always loved carnivals. The flashing lights, the smell of cotton candy, the laughter and screams of excitement, everything about them brought back fond childhood memories. So, when my best friend Sarah suggested we visit the carnival that had just arrived in our town, I couldn't say no. Little did I know that this night would forever change my perception of those joyful places. It was a warm summer evening, and the sky was painted in hues of orange and pink as we made our way to the fairgrounds. The air was filled with the sounds of cheerful chatter and carnival music, creating an atmosphere of pure delight. Sarah and I wandered through the various stalls, trying our luck at games and indulging in every treat we could find. After a while, we decided to try some of the rides. We started with the Ferris wheel, enjoying the breathtaking view of the carnival from above. Then, we braved the roller coaster, laughing and screaming as we were thrown around in our seats. Everything seemed perfect until we stumbled upon the old, wooden ride that stood at the far end of the fairground. The ride was called the Haunted Mansion, and it looked like something straight out of a horror movie. The wooden structure creaked and groaned with age, and the paint was peeling off in large patches. Despite its dilapidated appearance, there was something strangely captivating about it. We decided to give it a try. As we approached the entrance, a tall, gaunt man dressed in a vintage conductor's uniform greeted us with a sinister smile. "Welcome to the Haunted Mansion," he said in a deep, gravelly voice. "Prepare to be scared." Sarah and I exchanged nervous glances but laughed it off. We handed over our tickets and climbed into one of the creaky, old carts. The ride started with a jolt, and we were slowly pulled into the dark, foreboding structure. The air grew colder as we ventured further inside, and the cheerful sounds of the carnival faded into an eerie silence. The first part of the ride was filled with typical haunted house fare: jump scares, eerie sounds, and mechanical ghosts popping out of hidden corners. We laughed nervously at each fright, trying to brush off the growing sense of unease. But then, things took a darker turn. As we rounded a corner, the cart came to a sudden halt in front of a large, cracked mirror. The dim light flickered, casting strange shadows around the room. I looked into the mirror and saw my reflection staring back at me. But something was off. My reflection's eyes were hollow, dark voids, and its mouth twisted into a sinister grin. "Sarah, do you see that?" I whispered, my voice trembling. She nodded, her face pale. "What the hell is going on?" Before we could react, the mirror shattered with a deafening crash, and the cart lurched forward. We were plunged into complete darkness, the only sound being the rickety wheels of the cart on the old tracks. My heart pounded in my chest as we hurtled through the pitch-black tunnel. Suddenly, the ride came to a stop again, this time in a room illuminated by flickering candles. In the center of the room stood a figure dressed in a tattered Victorian dress, her face hidden by a veil. She began to move towards us, her movements slow and deliberate. As she drew closer, I could see her eyes, empty sockets staring right through me. "Sarah, we need to get out of here," I said, my voice barely a whisper. She nodded, gripping my hand tightly. Just as the figure reached out to touch us, the cart jolted back to life, speeding us away from the room. We were thrown through a series of dark passages, each filled with more terrifying scenes, shadowy figures, disembodied whispers, and cold, ghostly hands brushing against our skin. The final room we entered was the worst. It was a small, claustrophobic space filled with old, decaying mannequins. Their faces were twisted into grotesque expressions of fear and agony. As we passed through, their eyes seemed to follow us, and some even appeared to move. "Please, let this be over," I whispered, tears streaming down my face. Finally, the cart emerged from the darkness, and we were back at the entrance of the ride. The gaunt conductor was waiting for us, his sinister smile wider than before. "Did you enjoy the ride?" he asked, his voice dripping with sarcasm. We didn't answer. We just ran. We ran past the crowds, past the bright lights and cheerful music, and didn't stop until we were safely back in Sarah's car. We sat there in silence, trying to process what had just happened. "That was no ordinary ride," Sarah finally said, her voice shaky. "There was something evil in there." I nodded, unable to find the words to describe the terror we had just experienced. We never spoke of that night again, and I haven't set foot in a carnival since. The memory of the haunted mansion still haunts me, and I can't shake the feeling that some horrors are better left undiscovered. Carnivals have always fascinated me, not just for the rides and games, but for the sense of wonder and mystery they bring. I've always been drawn to the magic shows, the illusions that defy reality and leave you questioning what you just witnessed. One summer, I got more than I bargained for when I encountered the vanishing illusionist. It was a clear, warm evening when my friends and I decided to visit.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu. At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At the traveling carnival that had set up on the outskirts of our town, the sun was setting, casting long shadows over the fairgrounds as we made our way through the entrance. The atmosphere was electric, filled with laughter, music, and the tantalizing smells of carnival food. As we wandered through the various attractions, we came across a small tent tucked away in a quiet corner of the fairgrounds. A hand-painted sign outside read, "The Vanishing Illusionist, Prepare to be Amazed." Intrigued, we decided to check it out. We bought our tickets from a stern-looking man at the entrance and stepped inside. The interior of the tent was dimly lit, with rows of wooden benches facing a small, makeshift stage. We took our seats near the front, eager to see what kind of tricks this illusionist had up his sleeve. A hush fell over the audience as the lights dimmed further and a spotlight illuminated the stage. The illusionist stepped into the light, dressed in a black suit with a red satin lining. He was a tall, thin man with piercing blue eyes and a mischievous smile. He introduced himself as Victor Valerian and promised a show like no other. His voice was smooth and captivating, drawing us in from the very first word. Victor started with a few simple tricks, pulling a rabbit out of a hat, making objects disappear and reappear. The audience clapped and cheered, but I could sense there was more to his act. There was a palpable tension in the air, a feeling that something extraordinary was about to happen. For his final act, Victor announced he would perform the vanishing illusion. He selected a volunteer from the audience, a young woman named Lisa, who nervously climbed onto the stage. Victor assured her she had nothing to fear, and with a dramatic flourish, he draped a large, red velvet cloth over her. He spoke a few incantations, his voice echoing through the tent, and then he whipped the cloth away. Lisa was gone. The audience gasped, and I felt a chill run down my spine. Victor smiled and bowed, but there was an unease in his eyes. He assured us Lisa would return momentarily and stepped behind the curtain. Minutes passed, and the tension in the tent grew thicker. Whispers filled the air as people began to shift in their seats. Victor finally reappeared, looking slightly panicked. He tried to continue the show, but it was clear something had gone wrong. He announced a brief intermission and hurried backstage. My friends and I exchanged worried glances. Something felt off. We decided to sneak around the back of the tent to see what was happening. As we approached the rear entrance, we heard hushed voices. Peeking through a small gap in the fabric, we saw Victor arguing with the stern-looking man from the ticket booth. "We have to find her," Victor hissed. "This has never happened before." The man shook his head. "You should have never attempted the vanishing illusion here. There are things you don't understand." Before we could hear more, the man spotted us. "You kids shouldn't be back here," he barked. "Go back to your seats." We quickly retreated, our curiosity now mingled with fear. What had we stumbled into? We returned to our seats, but the atmosphere had changed. The lights flickered, and a cold breeze swept through the tent, making the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. Victor returned to the stage, visibly shaken. He apologized for the delay and promised to bring Lisa back. He performed the vanishing illusion again, this time with a sense of urgency. But as he pulled away the velvet cloth, Lisa was still missing. The audience erupted in confusion and concern. Suddenly, the lights went out completely, plunging the tent into darkness. There was a collective gasp, followed by the sound of shuffling feet and whispers. I felt a hand grab my arm, and I nearly screamed until I realized it was my friend. "We need to get out of here," she whispered. "Something's not right." We fumbled our way out of the tent, our hearts pounding. As we emerged into the cool night air, we heard a blood-curdling scream from inside. People started pouring out, their faces pale and eyes wide with terror. I looked back and saw Victor standing at the entrance, his face twisted in anguish. We ran to the carnival staff, shouting for help. They rushed to the tent, but when they entered, they found it empty. Victor, Lisa, and the stern man had all vanished without a trace. The tent was filled with nothing but eerie silence and the lingering scent of something unearthly. The police were called, and they searched the fairgrounds, but there was no sign of the missing people. The carnival packed up and left town the next day, leaving behind a trail of unanswered questions and lingering fear. Months later, I still couldn't shake the memory of that night. I scoured the internet for any information about Victor Valerian and his vanishing illusion, but there was nothing. It was as if they had never existed. The only evidence was the chilling memory that haunted my dreams and the uneasy feeling that something otherworldly had touched our lives that night. I haven't been to a carnival since, and I doubt I ever will. The memory of that vanishing act, and the terror it left in its wake, is something I'll never forget. Some illusions, it seems, are more real than we could ever imagine. Carnivals were a staple of my childhood summers. They represented a world of color, laughter, and excitement. As I grew older, the magic of carnivals didn't fade. Instead, it became a cherished tradition. That's why, when my younger brother Jake asked if we could go to the carnival in town, I couldn't say no. We packed up the car and headed out for what I thought would be another night of fun. I couldn't have been more wrong. It was a warm evening, the kind that holds the promise of a perfect night. The sun was setting, casting a golden hue over the fairgrounds as we arrived. The carnival was alive with activity, the air filled with the sounds of joyous screams, music, and the scent of fried foods. Jake was ecstatic, his eyes wide with excitement as he pulled me towards the rides. We started with the classics, the Ferris wheel, the carousel, and a few game booths where Jake won a small stuffed bear. Everything was going smoothly until Jake spotted the funhouse. He begged to go inside, and despite my hesitation, I agreed. The funhouse stood at the edge of the carnival, its entrance adorned with gaudy, flashing lights and a garish clown face that grinned ominously. As we entered, we were greeted by a maze of mirrors and distorted reflections. Jake was laughing, his voice echoing off the walls as he darted ahead. I called after him, my voice mingling with the eerie, canned laughter playing over the speakers. The maze was disorienting, the mirrors creating an endless loop of confusion. I lost sight of Jake and panic began to set in. "Jake!" I shouted, my voice bouncing back at me. There was no response. I pushed through the maze, my anxiety growing with each step. The mirrors played tricks on my mind, and I felt like I was being watched. Finally, I stumbled out of the maze and into a new section of the funhouse. It was dimly lit, with cobwebs and fake skeletons hanging from the ceiling. The floor creaked under my weight, adding to the unsettling atmosphere. I continued calling for Jake, my heart pounding in my chest. Suddenly, I heard a faint giggle, Jake's giggle. I followed the sound, pushing open a door that led to a narrow hallway. The laughter grew louder, but it was interspersed with something else, something darker. It sounded like whispering, but I couldn't make out the words. As I turned a corner, I saw Jake standing at the end of the hallway, his back to me. Relief washed over me, and I called out to him. "Jake, there you are. Come on, let's get out of here." But he didn't move. He just stood there, staring at something I couldn't see. I walked towards him, my footsteps echoing in the silence. As I got closer, I realized he wasn't alone. A figure emerged from the shadows, dressed in a long, black cloak. The figure placed a hand on Jake's shoulder, and Jake turned to face me, his eyes wide with fear. "Run!" he screamed, but before I could react, the figure pulled him through a door, and they vanished. I raced to the door, but it was locked. I pounded on it, shouting Jake's name, but there was no answer. Desperation took hold as I searched for another way around. The funhouse seemed to twist and turn, each hallway leading me further into its labyrinthine depths. Finally, I found another door and burst through it, emerging into a room filled with broken carnival props and old, dusty costumes. There was no sign of Jake or the cloaked figure. My mind raced with possibilities. Who was that figure, and where had they taken my brother? I stumbled back through the funhouse, my panic giving way to a cold, numbing fear. The cheerful sounds of the carnival felt like a distant memory. When I finally made it outside, I saw the gaunt conductor, the same one who had taken our tickets, standing by the entrance with that same unsettling smile. "Did you lose something?" he asked, his voice dripping with mock concern. "My brother," I gasped, "he's gone. Someone took him." The conductor's smile widened. "Perhaps he's still inside. Sometimes, people get lost in the funhouse and can't find their way out." I didn't believe him. I could see the malice in his eyes. But what could I do? I ran back inside, this time tearing through the funhouse with reckless abandon. I searched every room, every corner, but Jake was nowhere to be found. Hours passed, and the carnival began to close. I was frantic, my mind reeling with fear and helplessness. The police were called, and they combed through the funhouse, but there was no trace of Jake. It was as if he had vanished into thin air. Days turned into weeks, and the carnival moved on to the next town, taking its dark secrets with it. The police investigation yielded nothing, and I was left with the haunting memory of that night. Jake's disappearance became a cold case, a mystery that no one could solve. Even now, years later, I can't shake the feeling that the funhouse was more than just a carnival attraction. It was a portal to something sinister, a place where darkness lurked beneath the surface of innocent fun. I still hear Jake's laughter in my dreams, followed by that chilling whisper, and I wake up in a cold sweat, haunted by the memory of the funhouse and the brother I lost within its walls. Carnivals always had a magical allure to them, the bright lights, the cheerful music, and the promise of endless fun. That's what drew my friends and me to the annual fair that's set up in our town every summer. It was a place where worries faded away, replaced by laughter and excitement. Little did we know, this year's carnival would be different. It would be the stuff of nightmares. It was a warm evening when my friends and I decided to visit the carnival. The sun was setting, casting an orange glow over the fairgrounds as we arrived. We could hear the distant sound of carnival music and the excited chatter of families and friends. The air was filled with the aroma of popcorn, cotton candy, and sizzling hot dogs. It was the perfect summer night. We bought our tickets and entered the fairground, immediately drawn to the colorful lights and the bustling atmosphere. We started with the Ferris wheel, the view from the top giving us a breathtaking panorama of the entire carnival. Everything seemed perfect, but that was before I saw him, the clown. At first, he seemed like any other carnival entertainer. Dressed in oversized clothes with a painted face and a red nose, he waved at us as we passed by. But there was something off about his smile. It was too wide, too forced, and his eyes, they were dark and hollow, like they were hiding something sinister. I brushed off my unease, attributing it to my irrational fear of clowns. As the night progressed, we went from one attraction to another. We screamed our lungs out on the roller coaster, tried our luck at the ring toss, and indulged in all the carnival treats. But every time I turned around, I saw him, the clown. He was always there, lurking in the background, watching us with that unsettling grin. It started to feel like he was following us. I mentioned it to my friends, but they laughed it off, teasing me about my fear. "It's just a clown, Jane. He's probably paid to roam around and entertain," they said. Trying to shake off my anxiety, I forced myself to join in the fun, but the feeling of being watched wouldn't leave me. The final straw came when we decided to visit the funhouse. It was a maze of mirrors, colorful lights, and eerie sounds. As we made our way through, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were not alone. The laughter of my friends echoed around me, distorted by the mirrors, making it hard to pinpoint their locations. Then I saw him again, the clown, standing still among the reflections, his eyes fixed on me. My heart pounded as I tried to navigate through the maze, my friends' voices becoming more distant. Panic set in when I realized I was alone, surrounded by my own distorted reflection and that of the sinister clown. His smile seemed to grow wider, and I could hear his faint laughter, sending chills down my spine. I turned a corner and there he was, standing right in front of me. I screamed and bolted in the opposite direction, crashing into mirrors and losing my sense of direction. Finally, I stumbled out of the funhouse, breathless and terrified. My friends found me, their faces filled with concern as they asked what happened. I told them about the clown, but they insisted it was just part of the act, meant to scare visitors. Trying to calm down, we decided to end the night with a few more rides before heading home. But the feeling of being watched persisted. I saw the clown everywhere, in the crowd, near the rides, and even by the food stalls. It was as if he was always one step behind us, his eyes never leaving me. As we were about to leave, I felt a tap on my shoulder. I turned around and there he was, the clown, standing inches away from me. His face was so close I could see the cracks in his makeup and smell the faint scent of grease paint. Did you enjoy the show? He whispered, his voice cold and menacing. I couldn't move, paralyzed by fear. My friends, seeing the look on my face, quickly intervened, pulling me away and urging me to leave. We hurried to the parking lot, my heart racing as I glanced back to see the clown watching us, his figure illuminated by the carnival lights. We got into the car, and as we drove away, I couldn't shake the image of his face from my mind. The fun and laughter of the carnival had been replaced by a sense of dread that lingered long after we left. I didn't sleep that night, haunted by nightmares of the stalking clown. The next day, I learned that several people had reported similar experiences at the carnival, being followed by a sinister clown who seemed to vanish when confronted. The police investigated but found no trace of him. The carnival moved on to the next town, taking its secrets with it. Even now, years later, I can't go to a carnival without feeling a chill run down my spine. The memory of that clown, with his hollow eyes and unsettling grin, is a reminder that even in the happiest places, darkness can lurk in the shadows.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hi, I'm Terry Schmidt, a registered dietitian and host of On Nutrition, a podcast from Mayo Clinic where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. There's a lot of wild stuff out there, so we'll be keeping it science-based, research-informed, and practical. Mayo Clinic's On Nutrition, new episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.